Okay, copy that. On the outcrops that you think you see in the north and south and the sea, do they appear to be linear horizontal or subhorizontal? Can you see layers, and do you have any feel for the thickness or the attitude or the continuity of them? Can you discuss these outcrops?
Bob, the going over yesterday, I thought I could see structure dipping off to the southeast, apparent dip anyway, on the eastern side of the South Massif, or northeastern side. We haven't examined them in detail because we were in a rush to get out. We'll put the binoculars on them and try to examine that question. There's nothing very obvious any more than you could see on the photos that the ledges were concentrated in the upper portion, in the upper portion of the Massif units.
Okay, copy that. Here's a short one that I'll ask Jack since he did it. Again, I guess we just have to prove this. The shade portion of the cosmic ray experiment, the question is, and I repeat, I quote, are you sure the detectors, not the decals, were facing out?
I am, Bob, because I said I was sure and I called you on it.
Roger, I was sure too, but I had to ask the question.
I understand why I was asked, because I did it wrong at the Cape, but that's why I mentioned it when I deployed it.
Roger. And ready to... Okay, we can go and recharge the other place whenever you're ready there, guys.
Okay.
Okay, the next question was called for a little bit of discussion is the layers of lineaments that you remarked on in the sculptured hills. Can you say anything about them?
Yeah, Bob, I did. I think I said, and I commented, I'm not sure whether it was the sun angle or not, but... See, I was not looking at the sculptured hills. I was looking back at Bear Mountain, I believe. And to me, it looked like there was some organization that was dipping back to the east, somewhere between 20 and 25 degrees, maybe. And it was very obvious to me, but I'm a little hesitant because of some of the sun angle stuff.
Okay, I copy that. I gather we didn't get any 500 millimeters of these lineations today, right?
No, but I think we will. They were on the western side of Bear Mountain back there. And I think I commented that I thought that Bear Mountain is probably what the sculptured hills look like.
Okay, I copy that. Is there a scar above the light mantle material? In other words, the slide, is there a scar above that on the South Massif? Can you see anything up there? Indicates that it might have come off of there?
Nothing obvious yet, Bob.
Okay, copy that. On the way back from Station 1, you described a small crater with light material on the bottom. Can you say anything more about that crater?
Bob, I don't remember saying that, or Gene doesn't either.
Okay. You talked about something that was light. I don't remember. I thought it was a boulder, but the question's about a crater.
You're right. You're right. There was a large snap pit and a boulder that was very white. It must have been the crater for the zap must have been 2 centimeters diameter anyway, and it had about that. Are maybe 3 centimeters worth of crushed minerals around it that gave it a white, very bright white appearance.
Okay, well, that indeed is a small crater, so I guess the question was right. Let me change the mode here and ask you three or four simple ALSIP questions again to verify for various people exactly what happened, just to make sure that they're clear on it. When you were laying out the geophone leads, you mentioned and asked me if it was all right if the geophone leads crossed one another, if there's EMI problems. And so that made people wonder whether or not it was possible that the geophone positions were reversed, i.e., geophone 1 was laid out in geophone 2's direction, etc.
No, that was just a geophone 4 problem. That the geophones are in the right direction.
Okay.
Geophone 4 fell out of the module and rolled under one of the other lines, or vice versa, I don't know which. And it's crossing one of the other lines. Geophone 1, I think.
Okay, no problem. Was the when you went to put the LSPE antenna in the heat flow socket, you didn't have weren't able to do it at first. Was it because there was a lot of dust in there?
No, I think it was the same old problem of that piece of aluminum foil or whatever it is going down in the socket and jamming briefly.
Okay, I copy that. Did you clear out that foil when you did it, or did you just push it on through?
I forced it.
Okay. Now, when you taped the SEP solar cells down, how much of them did you cover with tape?
We taped the back.
Ah, very good thinking. And, Gino, a question for you on the rover when you parked it. Do you have any feeling for the roll angle it was parked at the LEM, the roll angle?
Yeah, let me look. Well, it is pretty flat. If I had to guess, I'd say zero, and you can bias that by a degree or so, but basically zero.
Okay, is the pitch scale still on it, or did it fall off yet?
No, I was going to comment on that. It's still there.
Okay, very good. Okay, when you went to Station 1A, we're calling the new Station 1, Station 1A, were the blocks there as well filleted as those near the LEM and the ALSEP? Do they all look the same?
Bob, they all the boulders had filleted to a slight degree, but not an extreme amount. I think no more than what is being caused by the redistribution of the darker fine-grained regolith.
Okay, I copy that.
Bob, if I had to answer that question, I'd say yes. Yes, that the fillet, the boulders are filleted over there about like they are over here. That would be my impression.
All right, is there any indication that the fillets are directional? In other words, that the fillets are heavier on one side than the other?
Bob, I haven't noticed that.
Okay, I copy that. Do you have the feeling that some boulders are more rounded?
Well, that's a good that's a good.
Roger, I agree with you.
That's a good reminder, Bob.
Okay, do you have any feeling that some boulders are more rounded than others? Apparently this looked this way in some of the TV pictures.
Some of the big ones that are just barely exposed above the regolith look quite well rounded. Most of those around the craters are subangular. I think I got the impression it's just purely a function of how long the same material's been exposed. But some of the big boulders, like the one out near the geophones, is quite angular in part and quite rounded on other parts. It's quite variable.
Okay, do you want to say any more about that boulder? Did it seem to have more or less the same lithology in addition to the variation in vesicle size that the other rocks in the vicinity of the ALSIP and the other rocks out of Station 1 had?
Well, it's very comparable to the ones we saw at Station 1, as a matter of fact.
Okay, I copy that.
Both types of rocks were there, both variations.
Do you have a feeling for where the big blocks in the Lem Alsop area came from? Do you think they were from Camelot, like I've been saying?
Don't have an idea yet. I'm really not sure.
Okay, and as you drove along on the traverse from the set to Station 1, did the size of the small craters with blocky rims vary? In other words, what we're looking for here is a variation in the thickness of the dark metal.
I can't answer that one yet, Bob.
Okay, and let me sum up by saying that I guess, as I indicated before, our best guess is that the vesicular crystalline rock, probably gabbro, or I think you've been calling intermediate basalt or gabbro, forms at least the upper part of the subfloor. I don't think we've been close enough to a large crater rim to say that it's what the deep sections of the subfloor form, but we think that this intermediate gabbro vesicular rock, at least medium grain, perhaps coarse grain rock, forms at least the upper layer of the subfloor. Over.
Yeah, Bob, I think that's pretty safe right now. Once again, I'm surprised that it's as coarse as it is, and being the upper portion of a plains unit.
Roger.
Hey, Bob, driving back from Station 1. Driving back from Station 1, where we did some of our circling and what have you, we didn't have time to get off, but we did see down in... I don't remember whether it was in the slopes of some craters or down on the slope itself, but I'd say several meters down below the mantle where there was what we almost agreed to might be bedrock, at least a deeper portion of the subfloor.
Okay, well, I think we'll get to it tomorrow. I think I might just give you a clue as to our thinking for tomorrow, but I don't think we've seen or done anything today that is going to make us change very much from the nominal station, or nominal EVA 2 plan. The fact we didn't get the station to the EVA 1, the large boulders at Emory, is probably going to mean that Station 5 might be shifted a little bit to the boulders on Camelot, but certainly Station 5 on the subfloor and also Station 10 have assumed a higher priority than they originally had. But other than that, I don't think we'll see an awful lot of changes to EVA 2. Over.
Okay, Bob, I think that's safe. I suppose somebody's thinking about the possibility of going down to Emory. Maybe you just said that. Going down to Emory late in EVA 3.
I think at the moment they're thinking primarily they're going to Station 10, not going to Station 1.
Okay, Jack, our rest of
the control... some of your experts might...
Go ahead.
Some of your experts might think about what they might expect to happen to what the regolith on a five-grain pyroclastic would look like.
Okay.
We'll tell them. I'll see you tomorrow, guys.
Sleep well, Bob. Okay, I just got one question, Bob, before you run off. Did the TG perform okay with the camera on?
As far as I could tell, Gino, it did. As a matter of fact, I didn't see the perimeter people afterwards to talk to. But as far as I could tell, it did. We had one funny reading back at the Lem very early when it was on the ground, which I'm at a loss to understand right off. But other than that, everything seems to have gone very well. The readings were quite uniform, in fact, which... that's what makes me think they went well.
Okay, well, I'd like to leave it. You know, it's a little change of my thinking. I'd like to leave it on a rover if we can, although it's a piece of cake to take off. It's very difficult to lean over that far without losing your balance and take your your readings and what have you. So if we can leave it on, it'd be far better.
Right. I was noticing that, and I also noticed the only three ball reading we got was when it was on the ground.
Yeah.
Gene and Jack, if you'll get the lunar surface checklist to 3-5, I've got an easy change to read up to you.
Go ahead.
Okay. After the line empty ETB as follows, change the first line, which reads BNW Mag Golf in forward RHSSC, to read BNW Mag Hotel in LCG compartment. And then go on to the next column, which begins Stow and ETB. Change the second line, which reads LMP's camera with BNW Mag Hotel, to LMP's camera with BNW Mag Golf. That's Mag G, ETB. Over.
Gotcha. Hotel, stow it, and go out with golf.
That's got it. And I've got a leave a cleaning procedure, which maybe you could pencil in there. It's an easy three-step procedure. And I'll go ahead and read it step by step here. Step number one is tap leave a base to remove loose dust. Step number two reads, if excess dust still remains, use a towel from the limb tissue dispenser, which has been wetted with water, to gently wipe the visor from the top to the bottom, that is, in one direction, and fold this towel after each wipe to keep the contact surface clean. There's a note, take care not to wet the inside, that is, the concave surface of the gold visor. And the last step is allow it to air dry. And that's it on the leave a cleaning.
Okay, Joe, we got that. The commander's list is at its final charge, and we're in the process of working on the LMP's list now. I guess there's just no way to verify how much water you got in there except to go through the procedure.
That's right, Gino. And we think you fellas have earned a good meal now and maybe can take the rest of the day off.
Okay, Joe, thank you.
The CAPCOM during the EVA geology debriefing was astronaut Bob Parker, who was CAPCOM during the EVA. Joe Allen is now handling the CAPCOM duties once again. Ron Evans aboard America, now in his 20th revolution of the moon, just passed over the landing site a few minutes ago, and appears to be sleeping soundly. Ron has been asleep for about 3 hours now. And telemetry data on America shows the vehicle to be functioning normally, as are all of the scientific instruments, with a couple of relatively minor exceptions. The mapping camera has not been retracted. It was somewhat slow to retract the last few times that that maneuver was performed, and the camera has been left in the extended position, which is the normal operating position for the mapping camera. And we expect, as you heard CAPCOM Joe Allen advise the crew, that Gene Cernan and Jack Schmidt will begin eating shortly. And we hope to get them tucked in for bed by about 128 hours, or about 1 hour from now.
Okay, Joe, just to bring you up to date on magazines, Mag Bravo has 7-7 frames.
Okay.
Mag Hotel has 8-3 frames.
Roger. Jack, on your Mag Hotel, we showed you all the way up to 183 at one time on that. Did you miss the one this time?
I may have clipped it out, Joe. 183, yes.
Okay, yeah, you did clip it out. Clipped it out cleanly, so thanks for verifying that.